Sometimes the final cut is the cruelest.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
All right, welcome back on into AfterBuzz TV and World of Dance. I'm trying to do choreography and host at the same time. I'm Kristen Burt, and we've got a lot to talk about tonight. And I got to tell you, my girls over here are awesome doing their choreography. I can't do it at the same time. But just to let you know that TK is at the Step premiere, which is an amazing documentary that you guys need to see. It's opening on August 4th, so I'll be talking about that a little bit more at dancenetwork.tv. But ladies, introduce yourselves.
Yes, hi everyone. I'm Amy Cassandra. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AmyCassandra_TV, also AmyCassandra.com.
Heck yes. Hello, everyone. I got a little bit of a cold, so I'm a little nasally, but nasally Becky can be found at Becky Sotero on, drumroll, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. See you there.
And Becky with the short hair. We love your haircut.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. So fun.
All right, I want to dive right in because we've got a lot to talk about. We have a lot of emotions, as we did last
angry.
Week, too. And this is the cut week two. Now, just to kind of refresh everyone, if you haven't seen the actual NBC show just yet and you're listening to this first, just a reminder that we were almost halfway through the team round. So we had Super Crew went and they got an 88.8. And then Swing Latino was at the top of the leaderboard with 92.5. And then we have three more to wrap up the round. And of course, Neo is the mentor.
Yes.
So we kick it off with the Kinjas, who have been tremendous this entire competition. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think of their dance in this round?
It was clean. Really
precise.
Clean. Yeah, very precise. It was good.
Wasn't their best, right?
It wasn't their best. It was all right.
I didn't think so either.
Like, even thinking about all the details. I mean, but they got really good scores, all in the 90s.
I loved it. I mean, I think that we saw, obviously, with the last performance that they had the theatricality, they had the props. That still was my favorite so far. But what I loved about this is it was a little more rooted. In terms of just dance, there was not a lot of theatricality with it. I mean, granted, they had their handkerchiefs, but I felt like it was typical Kinjas, or just it was completely executed flawlessly, and they tapped into the audience. They just delivered on all five categories again. So it doesn't surprise me that they were the top there.
I think, again, it's always good to show something different, which is exactly what they did. I felt a little underwhelmed with this one. And I did feel that it was a little less clean than what we've seen in the other two rounds. But it was still really clean.
But I wonder if that was wardrobe and maybe the way that I don't know, I guess their lines, like how the choreography was structured, because since it was in the round, most of it, I don't know, maybe the illusion of it, like we've talked about in the past, the camera angles maybe made it look a little messy. Because I agree with that.
Yeah.
I did feel a little bit less polished. It felt a little messy for me as well, to the eye.
The handkerchief.
Yeah, you saw that. And there were a couple arms that went in a little, like just, you know, when it's like a fraction of a second at different timing and it catches your eye. There was a little bit of that going on that the camera caught. And I don't know how it looked in person because that can always look a little different too. But again, you know, I feel like I'm nitpicking though at the same time because I love their work and I love what they do. I just felt like this one, you know, you just want to keep on setting the bar higher and higher. And I felt like this one was a little bit under some of their other performances.
Right. Well, and I mean, they're so intricate that I feel like, you know, you have to like find the tiniest little things in those performances because we're at that level now. So,
the thing is too that they're fighting obviously for the spot at the end, but they're also competing with all of our standards for them, but also watching everyone else. Which is way trickier because you have like all these standards and they have to meet all of those and surpass them, which is very difficult.
It's super hard. And you know, it only gets harder from this point forward, going forward. But I don't disagree. I mean, the scores were a little bit all over the place in the 90s, but you know, there's some scores that are going to come up later in the show that I'm like, eh. But like 93, 90, 96, 95, maybe 96 was a little bit high and maybe 90 was a little bit low. I actually agreed with Neo. I felt like 93 was kind of like a good sweet spot for them.
Yeah, 96, I mean, I'm Team Kinjas all the way, but 96 was definitely, especially after looking at these other scores in the upper division, was very generous. Very. So again, that would be another thing where I'm kind of curious, like, what's that conversation like behind the scenes with the judges on the, you know, at the panel?
But. Yeah. So their average was a 93.5, which then knocks out Super Crew, but it and then it puts Swing Latino in second place. So we'll just kind of like keep on refreshing you guys with scores and everything. And I will say that I do have an interview coming up with Super Crew that I did on Saturday. I was at the World of Dance Finals in Pasadena, which was amazing. And Super Crew had a lot to say just about scoring and judges' comments, and there were some shifting around.
Some inconsistencies you mentioned?
Some inconsistencies. So I have an article coming out with them in an interview tomorrow on dancenetwork.tv, so you guys can look for it there. But, you know, here's the thing. They still walked away feeling very positive about the show because they feel like it's pushing dance forward. So, but we can talk about some of those inconsistencies just in terms of the judging. Because then we go to the poor Chapkis dance family. And I sit there and go, we're left.
We saw 2 seconds of it, right?
I felt like it was way worse than last week. It's just like, and especially because they don't give you the backstory of, you know, Neo talking to them. So you're like, oh, great. It's going to be 1, 2. Oh, look, it's over.
Yeah.
So we already.
And we predicted it too. We're like, oh, here it comes.
Yeah.
They were at the World of Dance Finals, by the way. So they were competing. And, you know, I'm glad that they're like out there and they're still within the World of Dance family. But a little frustrated. And I wonder if some of these acts that got sort of shortchanged in this season, if they're going to try an audition for next season.
Yeah, I'm curious about that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they going to be working on? You know, and. These groups are so large, too. It's like, I wonder if maybe they'll come back a little small. I don't know.
Ooh.
It's
hard to know. Come back a little smaller. There's some stuff going on behind the scenes. First of all, the scouts were there on Saturday, so they were scouting new talent for season 2 already. Mm-hmm. They asked certain groups to submit audition tapes, and they have asked some season 1 contestants to think about coming back.
Like downsizing almost, do you think?
But switching up. So someone that's a duet, maybe thinking about coming in as a soloist, maybe adding a few members, maybe subtracting a few members. So they have made some suggestions for people that might be open to returning. So I think we are going to see some familiar faces in season 2 as well.
That'd be good.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's too bad, though, because, again, you just look at, like, holy crap, that's a low score. You know, so I want to know kind of what went wrong there.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. They're like, everything's up on YouTube. Everything's not up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and sometimes it's like just a clip. Sometimes certain acts that we did see on the TV show are missing from the YouTube page. So I'm not sure, again, what's happening or where the disconnect is. I do have, and I'm going to say this, I do have 2 of the executive producers coming on my show to the point on finale day on August 8th. Perfect. And maybe they can answer some of those questions for me.
My gosh, you're going to slay it. Watch out, people.
I'm excited.
I have a list already running for them because
Question
about this and a question about this. They're great guys, too. Dave Gonzalez, who created World of Dance, he was a marketing guy, by the way. Was like, I love this dance world. Let me just kind of create a tour.
Well, are we going to be able to hear some of that insight on this show? When is that one going to be?
It's going to be on Tuesday, August 8th at 3 p.m. So,
Evening.
And then I'll be here in the evening. So I can give some highlights and then tell everyone to make sure to watch the full hour because that one will be chock full of info. So 85.8, I don't really know what I'm judging, honestly. Yep. I feel bad because, you know, I saw them at World of Dance and they were great, but I don't know what they did on the show to accurately and fairly judge them.
Yeah, and I think they're already going into it with just sort of that, the precedence of the Kinjas and Swing Latino and Ian Eastwood and the Young Lions. So I just think that maybe they just weren't quite there. They were already kind of ruled out, which is sad. But
we really didn't see anything at all this season.
Whole season. I know it's super frustrating.
Debbie Downer here.
Like, well, it's not Debbie Downer. I think for us, we all appreciate their talent because getting on the show is you're good if you got on the show to begin with.
Sure.
And so everyone should at least have 1 week of the moment to see a full routine. It's not fair.
Especially when you're in the cut. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty far. They've made it pretty far. So the third round.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, that there's not enough time, and that's been an issue all season long, and NBC is aware of that. And they're also, you know, we have to remember there's the dance aspect to it, and they're also creating a TV show, so there's that aspect. And maybe they thought, well, we don't want to have you guys invest in this group, and then we yank them away and you never see them again.
But yeah, I don't know.
That's part of it.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, that's part of TV, too, is giving the people a variety and having something to kind of place on, because now we're all like, oh, we see this low score in this great group of dancers that got all the way to cut the cut, but we don't know what really anything about them.
Yeah. What does it mean? I don't know what it means.
Right.
So, but let me tell you, they were fantastic live. So, you know, support them on YouTube. You know, if you see them performing, buy a ticket. Like, that's what I feel like. Hopefully that will give them some more brand recognition, and maybe we'll see them in season two. Then we have to get to My Heart is Breaking. Ian Eastwood and the Young Lions. I don't even know where to begin with this, because I have felt like since his very first appearance, the group's first appearance, I felt like Ian and his style and his choreography was already misunderstood.
Very much.
And if he has a very established style already, and remember, he's 24, and it's going to continue to grow, but to not understand what that foundation is already just set him off, like, just on the with the judges in a weird direction that I was like...
Right. But I do agree with the judges when they said that that group has evolved the most. I just wonder how different it would be if maybe he had entered as a soloist. I think that the group dynamic just maybe, I don't know, totally my opinion, but he's so strong and so dynamic by himself that I just would almost kind of like to see him come back as a soloist, sort of. I mean, like, Fiction was our only, like, strong soloist, so I just feel like, let's see how he could kind of, to me, he just felt, the group felt, like, average behind him. My eye was always on him. So in that,
he is the star of the group, and he's had the Young Lions though since he's been about 16. So it's part of his brand and his identity. So you have to, for him to break out, because Fiction's always been solo. So for him to,
but maybe let's see what that would look like. What that landscape would look like.
Sure, yeah. But I think for this one, it makes sense that it was Ian Eastwood and the Young Lions, because otherwise that's breaking the brand.
I mean.
I guess.
I just don't think that they were at the level. When you're looking at a group, they weren't at the Kinjas level. They weren't at, well, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Swing Latino, but I still think that they're very, very, very strong. So,
see, I think it was just a beautiful performance. The lighting was on point. The effects, everything. And then them together creating just a really nice illusion for Ian. And I don't know. I just think that it was... It was way up here. People sometimes just don't understand different kinds of dance. And unfortunately, that did not work out for them. But we can all agree that we do not agree with how it ended.
No, and I think it's not okay. Let's give it to the people. If people were voting, that would have turned out totally different.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Because I think the judges were just kind of, again, I don't know, just kind of not on the Ian Eastwood train from the beginning.
Yeah, someone was like slightly underwhelmed, and it just kind of like continued in that direction. Yes. And I was like, I'm never underwhelmed. To me, he's I find him so appealing in terms of like his style and his creativity. Because
I love watching
it.
It
is not the typical crew. If I like turned on America's Best Dance Crew, I know that I'm going to get something. I like the lyrical quality that he brings to hip-hop because it's so different.
Yes.
But, you know, World of Dance, he was there at the finals again this past weekend. I can tell you that probably no one was bigger than him this weekend. People, especially girls, young girls, they're all over him. I mean, they just love him. And he's bringing a whole huge audience to dance. So I appreciate that. He handles judges' comments way better than I do. I mean, when I talked to him in my interview a couple weeks ago, I was like, I just was so angry for you. But he's like, you know, not everyone's going to like what you do, and you have to
just... I don't know. He looked pretty upset by those results tonight. We definitely saw some emotion, finally.
But he definitely didn't...
He was composed.
I would have opened my big mouth.
And yeah, he was composed. And you have to be, because, I mean, he'll probably be back next year.
Maybe.
You know?
We'll see.
Is it weird to say that he's maybe just bigger than this? Like, it's... His level of artistry is beyond this.
Then do Lay Twins need the world? You know what I mean? Like, because they're huge.
See, I feel like when you have hip-hop in it, like, yeah, team hip-hop, that plays perfectly on here. But if you want to be a little bit different, it just doesn't play as well.
I don't know, though. Like, I agree with you. I think the lyricality, how lyrical his hip-hop is so unique. So to me, that's... There is a place for it in this competition. It is very, very different. I don't know. I was going to say maybe they wanted variety with, you know, Swing Latino and the Kinjas. But then we talked about the junior division. You've got two contemporary artists. I don't know. I'm just confused because Ian should have been in that top two.
We'll see. And even in the scores, Neo went as low as 83.
So low.
And then Misty, 93. Misty
and Derek, yeah, and Derek was 91. And Derek's always had an appreciation for Ian, I think even in the earlier rounds. Misty has been a little bit higher than most of the judges, but, I mean, 83. I always feel like Neo has, like, completely been underwhelmed by Ian this whole time.
He just doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it. And, you know, here's the other thing. Like, after talking with Ian, I do wonder if he would come back for a season two. I almost feel, because he's like, I'm only going to do things that I'm passionate about. I'm not doing things for money. That he's really at a place that's very evolved for someone that young. And I almost feel like, just from my interview with him, and I have no knowledge of, like, what he thinks if he would come back, but I almost feel like he could be like, I had a great experience. I learned a lot. Moving on.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe he'll dive into some big choreography like J-Lo suggested. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. I mean, but it was really interesting. I just didn't agree. I kind of felt like we could have had Kinja's versus Ian, and it still would have been different, but I think that they're feeling that they were slighting other styles if they had so much hip-hop
in
the divisional finals.
Well, and that's what I mean, too. But then, again, you look at juniors, and we've got two contemporary.
Then it's contemporary. Yeah. We don't really have contemporary anywhere else. You know what I mean? If you look at the overall picture of, like, what they are promoting. So they've got some hip-hop, and they've got, now they have, like, some ballroom swing Latino, Colombian salsa, and they have your contemporary. So at least that they can pick and choose from variety. Because I probably would have put the lab in the juniors.
Well, that's what I mean. So they could have had the lab in a contemporary artist. So there is more variety within each division.
But here's the thing. If the lab won the divisional finals in there for the junior division, and then Les Twins or Keone Mari, who are both hip-hop-ish, had won in their division, and then, say, Kinja's win, then you have three people that are all hip-hop in the finals.
Yeah, but so then we're puppeteering. Oh, I hate that.
I think that there is some puppeteering going on, thinking contemporary. I don't know how Swing Latino beats Kinja's, honestly, but Kinja's, but they at least have, like, crew, and then they have...
I know what you're saying. Yeah. Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
The overall, like, umbrella of it is...
The big picture of what the finals look like.
And I'm just... I will forever be... I guess I have a hard time with dance competitions like this, because it's about finding the best. Like, not puppeteering, like, who, like, how the overall picture is going to look. We're looking for the best. So I don't care if you've got four hip-hop groups in there. We're looking for the best. I don't know.
And we never know what to believe. I mean, there's so much editing that we don't see.
Right.
So it's something to keep in mind that maybe they're changing things around, and we just don't know.
Read my article tomorrow. Here's some things. Well, and here's the other thing, too. I was asking around, because everyone was like, it will be a longer season next year. There might be some more time on certain episodes or certain rounds where it's like 2 hours versus 1 hour. But nobody was saying that the shows would be live next year. Everyone seemed to think that they were going to stay with pre-recording.
I'd like them to be live.
I would love them to be live. Creating a schedule with people like J-Lo and Derek and Neo is tremendously difficult. However, I think that the live element adds a lot of excitement and a lot of things that you can't play out in pre-taping.
I was just going to say, it puts some truth in there, too. And
it sure does.
I think that that's maybe my biggest problem with this show, if I'm being completely honest, is I just feel like it's just... I don't know. I'm feeling, like I told you guys, I'm a little bored, because I just kind of feel like there's no excitement to it, because we already know how it's being played out. Whereas, like you said, the live show, it just adds the, like, there's not as much puppeteering happening with it.
And we'll see what happens. Like, maybe all of a sudden, you know, they throw out the idea of pre-taping and they add in a live element. We'll see.
You're
what
right
happens.
Though. The scheduling would be a nightmare, especially with So You Think You Can Dance, and there's just a lot happening.
There's a lot happening. And J-Lo, you know, she had to cancel doing the musical this year. She was supposed to do Bye Bye Birdie in December because her schedule was tight. So there's a lot of things at play.
God,
and she's got her Vegas show. She's got a lot. And she's got a date A-Rod. She's got kids.
She had a birthday yesterday.
Ooh, she had a dress. She looks amazing.
All I could see, all I could pay attention to was that dress.
So beautiful. She's amazing. I love her. Okay, so we move to the upper division with Derek as the mentor, who I think is... such a great person for constructive feedback, and probably gave the most helpful comments to everyone. And when I saw Les Twins sort of, even though they didn't really show anything, but even when they were like, no, this is great, we understand, that's when I know that Derek commands respect.
Yes, he does. Well, because I remember thinking, like, what is Derek going to be able to, like, tell the, you know, lay twins? Like, I don't, I feel like that'd be such an intimidating situation.
He's got a great director's
eye. No, but you, like, again, it could be editing, but you watched him watch the routine, and he genuinely had positive, well, he just had, you know, a critique for them, and I, wow, you know, coming up with a critique for lay twins.
It has been my greatest, like, excitement to watch Derek leave Dancing with the Stars, and I'll tell you why. Not because I don't like seeing him on the show, but he's so above and beyond. Like, he had grown so much past that show, and he's capable of so much more. And like watching him mentor these contestants, I was like, this is what he's capable of, whether he wants to direct a dance film or a Broadway show or have his own dance company. God. Like, there's so many possibilities, and he's still very young. And that excites me to watch talent like that.
Me too. He's really coming into his own.
Yes.
Apart from, because he was always just, Dancing with the Stars, you know, dancer. But now
Emmy
he's just
nominee,
coming to...
Emmy winner. Yes. But I just feel like this life now for him is just so much bigger. So I just wanted to sing some Derek Hough praises.
Yes.
But we go right into Luca and Jenna Lynn. And I heard your comment. You were like, this is not dance. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have you start.
I'm super hard on them. I don't know. I don't feel like this competition is a place for them. I think that they'll belong well in Cirque du Soleil. Or, I mean, for heaven's sakes, like, America's Got Talent. They may get super, super far. But I see just tricks on tricks on tricks on tricks, and it's, you know, this is the world of dance, and I mean, to each in their own, but to me, I am very underwhelmed. Let me say that their tricks are amazing. They are amazing. I just don't think that this platform, this show, is the best.
But it is categorized as a ballroom cabaret is... It is part of dance sport. It is part of Blackpool, which is like the major ballroom competition. Mm-hmm. This is a part of that. So you have to understand that it is categorized, whether you can think so or not. It's kind of like to me, you watch trampoline at the Olympics, and it is part of gymnastics.
Sure.
Or like they're trying to include now parkour into gymnastics. Mm-hmm. So there's always going to be things that are a little bit like on the fringe of what it is. I think for them, and they're so young, like you got to remember, he's 20, she's only 16. This will evolve, I think, as a partnership.
Yeah, but even the judges were saying, I mean, they need to marry dance movements in between that. To me, all I saw was lifts and tricks. So, I mean, for just my visual eye, I'm also, you know, like I said from the top of this critique, that I'm not like, you know, miss note all of dance. I just, to me personally, I felt like I was watching a lift clinic.
You're missing the connection between like the lift and like the next move and things like that.
Yeah.
But I think like as they grow and evolve, you're going to see their style evolve, which will also incorporate more dance. And they did a piece earlier this year with Philip Shabib from So You Think You Can Dance, he's an incredible choreographer. And they've incorporated, like if you start watching what they're doing now on YouTube, you're already seeing more dance incorporated to what they're doing. So they're open
just
to it.
A little more polishing, I think, maybe.
But it's going to come because you have to remember, she's the only one that was 16 in the upper division also.
Well, and again, I'm being difficult because look at this talent pool. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing is it's not that they're not good. I just think when you're putting them with these groups, even with Fiction, with, you know, Kinjas and Lay Twins and Keone and Mari.
Well, they're competing against the best of the best. They're basically an unknown act until now.
Yeah.
Competing against Lay Twins. Like, if you think about that, that's crazy.
Well, and Jenna kept saying that during the entire episode. That's like, you know, it's fantastic. You made it this far. This is wonderful. But for them, I do think less was more. They talked about it. The judges talked about how if you see so many tricks after a while, it's like,
maybe that's why I just felt underwhelmed. I just wanted a little more in between the movement, the tricks.
And, you know, you do learn that. You've ever, like, whether you've ever danced before, like, there's a lot of power in, like, moments of silence. There's even in an interview, like, if you take a breath and, like, ask a question, there's a lot of power in things that we have a tendency as human beings, because it's just human nature, to be like, I'm going to put all the tricks in, or I'm going to just like,
I felt like her moment with Derek in the rehearsal was like the most dynamic. I was like, dang, okay. But that breath he was talking
that
about.
Breath. And it's no different in what we do, too. Instead of us like all talking at once, sometimes if we just like all had a pause, you're like, that was really powerful. Why do we all pause at the same time?
Like, I felt that was the most dynamic moment. I was like,
And, you know, the other interesting thing, because I saw them on Saturday, and they were saying the last two routines they did, like, there were a lot of new lifts that they had never tried before. Mm. So there was a lot of things that muscle memory-wise, you know, weren't 100% in their body. So sometimes that's where connections don't, you know, you don't get to lengthen as much. Once it's, you know, you've rehearsed it for 6 months.
Sure.
Those little fine details. But they felt like, well, we're here with the best of the best. Let's, you know, they flew in their coach from South Africa. They started working. And, you know, you can sit there and they could have done what they already had prepared. But I think for them, they just felt like they had to take it up a notch. And
well, they did what they did, what they do well. So, I mean, ridiculous. I will say that. I just, for me personally, it was. Well,
there was one point where Luca's face, when he was lifting her, was a little bit like, because he was just
doing saw that too.
So much. I was like, ah.
Yeah, but, I mean, he was working hard. They were injured. Like, there was a lot of things going on, and they handled it really well. I was like, little Jenilyn crying at the end. I was like, you're so great. I hope you feel really proud of yourself. Because in the moment, it's so hard to hear that.
Defeating, I'm sure.
But little insider scoop, too. Derek called upon Luca and Jenilyn. He was doing a piece after taping a few weeks later and asked them for some help on some lifts.
Wow.
Because he was so impressed with what they were able to do. And so they sent, like, a tape.
Oh, my gosh.
And he used it for a performance.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt that they can, I mean.
Very innovative.
So, very innovative, yes.
So, and see, again, okay, this is what's so funny. Neo gave him an 82 and everyone else was 80, 80, 80. Because usually Derek, I would have been like, oh, he probably gave him an 82. Mm-hmm. But Derek felt like they didn't take the notes that he had given them and transferred
it. Well, as the mentor, I could see why he would be much harder, absolutely. 100%,
because he saw what they were capable of in that session. And then he was like.
Well, and he told them, too, to find those moments of mirroring the choreography and or the movements, and they didn't do that. So I think that, you know, it's going to...
And again, I think that comes with being a young performer. Like, as you... Once you start hitting... And this is why sometimes when you watch, so you think... Sometimes the 18-year-old performers, and then you have, like, a 20 or 22-year-old performer, it's like night and day. The 18-year-old performer still feels a little junior. But once you start hitting your stride, and then, like, life happens, and you feel more...
Right.
I think if they stay together as a partnership, we're going to see a big evolution with them.
See, and we have Tracy Johnson in the chat saying, yeah, you're right, that we'll be able to see the connections and emotions more as they grow into it.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you guys for
Tracy's
chatting.
Amazing. She's always got great comments and great thoughts. So
yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah, so but it will definitely come in time. I was sad for them, though, just because I felt like they were probably capable of, like, 85... 84.
Not so low.
Yeah, it felt a little low, but again,
I don't know.
So
I guess I'm the only one that doesn't. I don't know.
That's okay though.
I get the style. I don't know. I just felt
it was fierce, but yeah, there was.
It just felt like I wasn't watching dance. So I mean, again, to each and their own. But that was my opinion.
And then we move to Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Fiction. I tweeted this out this morning because they had released that dance early. So I was like. He's grown so much as an artist, and if anyone watched him in season 10 and you look at now,
truth,
it is what an evolution. I'm so proud of him, and he's been in this very funny bubble because he's been in this World of Dance bubble. You know, they taped earlier this year, and then he went like right into All Star where they did auditions and Academy, and now he's going into the live shows. He's not going to come out of this bubble until September, and I think he's going to find that he is like. One of the biggest superstars in dance.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Fiction is just a force to be reckoned with in all things dance. Like, even though he didn't make it, I don't know. Yes, my dude, Fiction. Yes, yes, yes. Mine too.
Well, okay. The props were amazing. The umbrella, using that umbrella, I was worried, but I was like, it's fine. It's Fiction. He's got this. It reminded me a little bit of Gene Kelly. And singing in the rain.
Yes.
Just so effortless. And of course, like, if he average just, people did that, we'd be like, ooh.
He just floats.
So light and fluffy, airy.
And every, and like the music, I know we talk about musicality a lot, but every single piece of each word was perfectly expressed through his movement. I don't know. I mean, I know we talk about that, but I mean, this was like the epitome. This was a clinic on how to use a song. Like, he made that song come to life. We've heard that song 100 times.
From the beginning, as soon as he started.
And I think, too, what Fiction's always done really well is he's always been able to emote and be very happy. What I feel like I've seen in World of Dance is seeing other emotions from him and things that, to me, I felt it came from his soul. It wasn't just like, I'm going to feel sad or I'm going to look angry or I'm going to, like, it was deep-seated, and I appreciate that from him.
Much more mature. I think, yes, we're not quite, we've seen how amazing he is, but we haven't seen that level of maturity, and he expressed that in World of Fans.
And I think that's kind of like the point of, like, we saw him at 18, and so you think you can dance? Right. Now we're seeing him, I think he's about 22.
He said, yeah.
So, same thing, Luca and Jenna Lynn, let's 4 years, let's all gather here and let's talk about it, because I do think if they're together as a partnership, we're going to see a big evolution.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
They're going to be rock stars.
Yeah, that's a hard thing. Yeah. They're so young. Does the partnership, like, stay together?
Well, they already are. I mean, think about the group of people that really do love that style of dance. I mean, they're like, you know, jumping on the couch. So, I mean, they're already at such a high level. So, yes, in 4 years, can you imagine?
Ooh. And it brought cabaret-style dancing to the forefront. I feel like most of us, you know, especially with So You Think, Dancing with the Stars, that's not something that we see very often.
No.
So good for them.
Good for them. And again, it is a whole part of the ballroom competition world, too. So they were at Blackpool this year themselves. So they're competing with the best in the world, which
fiction,
is amazing.
Fiction. Oh.
But see, this was another one with Fiction. I thought that the scores were very low. I was a little
way
happy
too
with
low.
That's agreeing with us. It wasn't enough.
I would have put him in the 90s. I wouldn't have put him at 96, but I sure could have found a 92, 93.
I can't even.
A 90 even?
I can't even describe the anger in my heart, because I love Fiction again is, if not my favorite dancer right now, he's like tied. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that he is so expressive, so explosive. He's just an artist. The imagery in this dance was unmatched. I do not know what was going through the judges' heads. Like, I just don't. I'm appalled.
Well, yeah, and Neo was like, I expected better from you. And I was like, really? I expected better from you as a judge. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes me mad, because I was like, but they were all sort of, see, this is when I feel like they knew that Les Twins, and they knew that Keone and Mari were coming up.
Yeah.
Because you have 84. J-Lo gave an 86, so I'll give her credit to that. But even,
still way too low. Absolutely way too low.
I was very surprised that Missy was low, because she's been pretty generous with her scores, 82 there.
Well,
what are we missing?
And okay, can we talk about the fact too that Misty was one of the biggest fans of that dance, and she gave him an 82, right?
She gave him an 82.
82. Like, I'm blown away.
Their comments were so, you would think that they would have given him like 90s.
They were too contrasting. Yes.
Yeah. So you're thinking, what the heck? I also thought that was my favorite performance from Fiction for sure. Entire season. Just so different.
The imagery, the storytelling, it's everything that we want as an audience.
And Derek gave 85, so 84, 86, 82, 85.
Yeah,
so
I'm not happy about it.
I was not either.
I'm not happy about it.
And I kind of do feel like there was no way that Fiction was probably going to make it to the final two in the upper division, just because you had Les Twins, who were giants in the industry, and then you have Keone and Mari, who have made their mark as well. But I felt like he could exit with a higher score.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's just maybe part of my problem with this show, is that where it's like Les Twins, and I mean, Keone and Mari are incredible, so are Les Twins, but it's just like, are these titles now? I mean, in a weird way, like, yeah, Jabberwocky's left, you know, last week and it blew us all away, but in a weird way, it kind of made it real. Like, it gave the underdog an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that Fiction is an underdog, but.
Well, he is compared to, say,
yeah,
Les Twins.
Yeah, sure, sure, sure. But I just, he didn't, he was not supposed to go home. I don't know. I'm so sad.
We love him, so that's all that matters.
So does our live chat.
And the good news is that we are going to see him on the live shows beginning August 7th for So You Think You Can Dance. So,
do we know if Fiction's routine was, again, mostly improvised by Tracy? Ooh, interesting.
I'm going to say that it was a little bit more choreographed this time around because of the props and the
One was perfectly choreographed with the words and the music, so I would think it was pretty. Yeah.
Derek gave good feedback.
Derek gave the whole the division, bench. I thought, did a great job. And then we go to Por Pasión. Again, we hardly knew you guys. Yep. We miss you. You know, but I don't...
I'm sure you flamenco'd well.
I have nothing to say. I don't want to judge them on, like, 2 seconds. We don't know. But obviously you're great because you made it this far. So, yep. 78.8, though, so we don't know what that was about. And then we do get to the giants of this entire competition, Les Twins. And, you know, every time I see Lay Twins, especially after the duel round, which I thought they were a little arrogant. I was with Derek on this one where he said he thought they were a little off-putting, even though they delivered at the same time. I felt like a little bit
absolutely.
So I always go in with a little bit of edge of like, I just don't want to like them. But then I watch them and I'm like, I really do like them. Because what they're doing is so innovative and unique, and nobody else does what they do in the world.
I have the exact same problem. Like, you literally just, like, picked the words out of my brain about them. I mean, they're so compelling, but there's just something about their personality that I'm a little eh about. But again, this is where the fact that the public doesn't get to vote plays a part. Because I do wonder that feeling of being off-put. I wonder what other people think. Mm-hmm. But I just wonder how would that have played if it were a live voting system, you know?
They're very competitive. I know that. I mean, you can see it. You don't need me to tell you this.
Of course.
But they were holding back on purpose. I'm 100% sure. Oh. They're like, we're just going to not show Derek everything. Of course they had something. They had something in their back pocket the whole time.
I think they're good, but sometimes I feel like maybe even the judges get clouded by, oh, my God, they're Lay Twins.
Yeah, a little bit wrapped up in the celebrity of it almost.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's all judge everyone equally, fairly. They did well. They're not like the best.
Thank you. They did really not blow. Good.
Like,
yeah, they didn't blow me
they
away.
Work very in sync. They're twins, you know, in addition to just being siblings. Like, I mean, you can't get more connected than that.
Yeah. Right.
But I wonder again if we're getting caught up in, or they're getting caught, because we don't want to say, getting caught up into the celebrity, the name. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, they are incredible, but I was way more blown away with Fiction's performance than Lay Twins.
Well, and I think, too, it's like what I think is interesting is that, you know, in the dance world, they're very well known, but there's still a whole, like, mainstream sector that aren't familiar with Lay Twins. And I wonder if, like, the average viewer that is not the hardcore dance viewer that's, like, buying World of Dance tickets and going to the finals in Pasadena, are they watching this going, I don't understand, like, why maybe Fiction didn't go through, or why Ian didn't go through, and why Lay Twins have been held like up here this entire series. I do wonder if that's translating.
See, we have Bethany on the chat asking, why do Lay Twins get away with pulling faces and mouthing the words? I get that's their style, but that is very off-putting to me.
Yeah, I love it. I love hearing this feedback because it gives us some...
Well, and I think like part of their
input
personality as dancers, there's some sass to there. They are masters at battles. They are masters. And so this is a part of like who they are as competitors, as challengers, as dancers.
Right. Well, and they're getting away with it because of this format too. They don't really have to like go out there and be like, oh, we're performing for the public. They're like, they're treating it as a battle. Which,
if they were coming on So You Think You Can Dance, it would be totally different.
It's all about charisma and connecting with the viewer. But here it's beating everyone else.
Yeah. Because you can hear, like, this is the thing. Like, if Nigel were on this panel and it was So You Think You Could Dance, he would say, lose the attitude a little bit. Oh, and you would hear that.
Absolutely.
So I could hear him saying
that. Yeah, absolutely. No. He'd be like, I don't know. I just, you know. But, so again, it's the format which allows it. And so we, as viewers, we have to be like, okay, this is the format.
Well, again, like we talked about, I mean, there's no doubt that they have so much talent. It's just... I don't know. When I put the performances tonight with Fiction and with, again, that you got to bring it every week, and I feel like Fiction's been bringing it every week and stepping it up, and, you know, Lay Twins was just like, oh, they were Lay Twins.
You're doing kind of the same thing.
They had some really unique moves that I, you know, Derek pointed them out.
The ankle breaking. Really,
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
There were some
but
cool
then
moments.
They moved on.
Yeah, and I just want to – I'm interested to see sort of how this plays out with the divisional finals because it can go two directions. It can go in this direction where it just feels predetermined that Lay Twins is going to win. Or is it that Keone and Mari, you know, another David and Goliath battle and, you know, Keone and Mari – because I have this theory. I feel like Keone and Mari, like, make it at least to the finale. In my head, because just of what I'm seeing out there, I have no, you guys, I have no intelligence, no intel on this whatsoever. It's just a feeling.
But I see it too. Like, they're stupidly talented. They bring a different routine every single time. I mean,
they're so likable.
Yes, you can't help but watch them and just be completely lost in the moment. They're the whole package.
Oh. So, Damon's like, I don't see the arrogance, but. We feel the arrogance. And here's the other thing. This is too. Steve and Damien are also men. Mm-hmm. I would love to know from some of the women, are you feeling mm-hmm. the arrogance from them? Sometimes it's a gender thing, it too. That could be a really
interesting thing. Well, I think, like you said, though, it's the their battle mentality, and it's the, it lends to this format. So, I mean, why 100%. Not come out? And if that's part of their motif, too, they have to have that. You know, their fans love that. So.
And they're smart. There's a strategy to winning these things, too. Sure. And they're masters at doing this. They're master strategists. They are fantastic dancers. They've got the sass to go with it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot
that's,
of things.
And that's their personality, you know. That's for their...
Yeah, so it's a part of the whole package.
Yeah.
All right, and then we go to Keone and Mari. Yay! Wrapping up the night. I love this because it was fiery, and that's mm-hmm. not something we've seen. It's a different color to what they've had in their toolbox, which I kind of like.
It was intense and vibrant, if those are good words to use. But you could tell just how personal it was. And it was like they left part of their hearts out there on the floor.
Woo, this routine hit home. Good. Loved the movement. Loved the story. Hated the song. Choice. Just did. Mm-hmm. I'm putting it out there, people. I don't know. I felt like I was a little conflicted about the, like, song and the like, I don't know.
Was it John Legend song?
Yes, it was. But I just felt like the energy of that song with the energy of the story and the movement, I just felt a little discombobulated. Mm. They're perfect, don't get me wrong. I just, personally, I was like, oh, I wanted a different song choice.
I was also waiting. Well, whenever people have props, I'm always wary of that. But the last time that we saw them, they had, was it last
the
time?
Cell phones.
The phones. Yeah. So I was concerned. Oh, no, they're going to drop their phone, hit their face. This time I was concerned for their their necks. Because there were a few times where I was like, oh, they're gonna choke with the bands.
Oh my gosh,
oh no.
I didn't feel that way at all. I felt like they were so completely perfectly like choreographed that there wasn't a moment that I was like, they're not on it. They know exactly what they're doing.
I totally agree, but it was still like,
yeah.
Okay,
on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, which is super interesting.
But that's kind of fun, though. That adds an element of like unpredictability.
I love it. They always make me watch.
God, they're just flawless to me.
Yeah, and I do love that they've been around. Like, this is the thing. Like, Keone and Mari have been around. They've had a YouTube presence. They've choreographed on So You Think You Can Dance multiple times. And this show is finally, like, opening people's eyes to who they are. It's like,
love it.
They so deserve this moment to really shine. So in some ways, I'm like, I would kind of like them to win the upper division for something different. I don't know if they will, though, but it's... It makes for a very interesting dynamic for the divisional finals between Lay Twins and Keone and Mari because they both bring something totally different to the table. And while we're saying, like, Lay Twins are super competitive, I think that Keone and Mari are very competitive as well.
They're silent killers. Yes. But, I mean, and look at that connection. There's just no... I mean, okay, Lay Twins obviously have connection. Mm-hmm. We can't disagree about that. But, I mean, there's just something so special about Keone and Mari's connection.
That's
just unmatched.
It's chosen
them.
Connection, which is way different.
Isn't it interesting? Can we talk about this really quick? Juniors, 1-1. We have the groups, two big groups, mm-hmm. pretty large, sizable groups. Yep. And then now our upper is 2-2.
See, Keone and Mari, I have a feeling that maybe they'll be like not the next because nappy tabs can still stay there. But it's, you know, kind of in that direction. I'd love to see them grow and flourish and for more people to see them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, their work has always been impeccable and really interesting. And
Very interesting.
I hope we see them. I don't know if we will, given their schedule and their success in World of Dance, but I'd love to see them at least 1 week on So You Think. It's been a couple seasons since we've seen them. So it's definitely one of those things that I'm like, I'd love to see them back in the mix. And
it's so innovative. Their storytelling is lovely.
And here's the other interesting thing. On their scores were a little bit more even. It was 94, 92, 94, 93. But if we toss out Misty's 98 that she gave Lay Twins and say she gave something a little bit more level, like even like a 96.
Yeah, that was way too
high. I mean, these scores
high.
Are close if you look at the averages, 93.5 and 93.2.
They're the closest we've had.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean 98. Round. I don't know. Like, to me, that was
if she had given something more, a little bit more normal, because I felt that was a little bit high.
Yes,
you could have had Keone and Mari on top there. Mm-hmm. You just don't know.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I'm reading the chat as well. They deserve an Emmy nomination next year for their work. I could not agree more. Like, they they are going to be winning Emmys left and right. I just, again, this is a platform. The show is a platform, whether they win or not, for people that weren't aware of them, to see how incredible they are.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Emmy nominations, because adding World of Dance to the mix, they were not eligible this year because they missed the cutoff date literally by like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But this will add a fresh face to that competition, because it's been very heavy with So You Think and Dancing with the Stars, obviously. Just quickly, since we do need to wrap, the divisional finals will be Diana Pombo versus Eva Igo, and then Swing Latino versus Kinjas, and then, of course, Keone and Mari versus Lay Twins.
Then there were six.
Yeah. And then there will only be three as we lead into the finals, into the $1 million.
It's going to be a tough week. Two more weeks.
I know. But I'm glad, you know, obviously we had a lot of differing opinions. The judges had a lot of differing opinions, so it elicits a lot of reactions. That's a good thing, because we're talking about it.
Absolutely. Love it.
All right. Well, tell everyone where they can find you.
Y'all can find me at Becky Sotero on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Yay. And hi, guys. I'm Amy Cassandra. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AmyCassandra_TV and AmyCassandra.com.
Yes. And I'm at Kristen Burt on Twitter and TheKristenBurt on Instagram. And, of course, I have that article with Supercrew. I'm telling you guys, you're going to be interested in this. And that comes on DanceNetwork.tv tomorrow morning.
Love it. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
All right. We'll see you guys next week here on AfterBuzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.